بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ألهاكم التكاثر حتى زرتم المقابر، كلا سوف تعلمون. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون، وسلام على المرسلين، الحمد لله رب العالمين. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد، بارك وسلم. قال المصنف الإمام حجة الإسلام أبو حامد الغزالي رحمة الله عليه ونفعنا به وبكم: وأما الملبس فقل له ما يستر العورة ويدفع الحر والبرد. And as for the garment, so we did the arud yesterday. We did the mat'am yesterday. We spoke yesterday about what's going to be the smallest, or the, and then the medium and the largest, which is the lowest type of food that a person can eat before he is no longer considered, or she's no longer considered, an ascetic. Well, actually, you know, there's one thing I did miss. Let me go back a moment. وقع عشرين في ذلك لا يبطل مقام الزهد ودرجة في الآخر إلا عند من شتت وقلب في الزهد. وأما عرض وجد عرض فأدركت رطب زيادة على تطب رطبة الزهد. Okay. وأما الجنس. So sticking with the food, as for the types of food, فأقله ما يقوت ولو النخالة وأوسطه خبز الشعير وعلاه خبز البر غير منخول فإن نخل فهو تنعم لا زهد. So here it's saying, as for the jins, the type of food. As for the type of food, you can say condiments as well. But as for the type of food, Imam al-Ghazali rahmatullah alayhi, he's broken food down into a few different categories. He broke it down into the amount, and then he broke it down into the width. Now he's breaking it down into the actual. Then you go to the jins. The jins is as for the type. He said it's like a bran. It's like a bran type of bread. And then a bread made from sha'ir, which is a wheat bread. And the a'la, a bread made from flour that's not refined. غير منخول. It's not refined. And if it is refined, then this is enjoyment. It's not zuhd. No, it should be la zuhda. It's la nafil jins la zuhda. It's not la azhada, la zuhda. That if it is made from a type of bread that is refined, then it's going to be considered enjoyment la zuhda. It's not going to be considered zuhd. فَأَمَّا الْإِدَامِ, and as for the condiments or the dipping sauce, or however you want to describe it, فَقَلَّهُ الْخَلُّ وَالْبَقُلُ وَالْمِلْحِ, that you have the different types. If you want to be content with very little, then Rasulullah ﷺ mentioned نِعْمُ الْإِدَامِ الْخَلُّ. This is going to be vinegar. And vinegar is going to be a great type of condiment, according to the Prophet ﷺ, because even the people who are very poor, they can afford this condiment. I don't know if you've ever tried vinegar with bread. I've tried it before. It's very hard to eat. I thought one day I'll try it for the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. I put vinegar inside of a bowl, and I took wheat bread, and I just broke it, and I put it inside, and I took a bite, and I was done. It's very hard. And the reason I mention this is because sometimes we say, oh, I'd be able to survive the way the Prophet ﷺ survived. None of us would be able to survive. Has anyone accepted the challenge yet? Anyone only date so far this entire i'tikaf? No? Yeah? One? No. Starting tomorrow, right? Everything's starting tomorrow. I've seen a few guys do it. Few guys, dates only? Have they been able to do it? Like, and the entire time?
Since, I think, the last couple of days.
Okay, that's good. There's only one problem with dates. There's only one problem with dates. We should make the challenge with almonds or something, not with dates. Graham crackers, no. Look at these people from Hill's Corner come over here. We're South Milwaukee, man. We're not graham crackers. What kind of zuhud is this? Anyway, so in terms of jinns, in terms of idam, al-khal is going to be vinegar, then some type of vegetables or herbs and salt. This is what you just take with bread, you sprinkle this on, you eat it. Wa-al-satahu al-adhan. And when you sprinkle it onto this bread and you eat it, understand that this is the whole meal. This is not like the precursor. This is not like the appetizer that's going to then precede meat. And we're going to get into meat in a moment. It's not the appetizer. This becomes the entire meal. And so for people, it becomes very hard for them to understand how the Prophet ate this when they try to practice it. And the middle one is al-adhan, to have oil. Take your bread and just dip it in oil and eat it. That's middle asceticism, meaning that's not the highest. That's if you're a little more wealthy. وَعَلَاهُ اللَّحَمْ. And here, high means not the best one. It means adna in terms of status. A'la in terms of how much you can eat. اللَّحَمْ. وَذَلِكَ فِي الْإِسْبُورِ مَرَّةً وَمَرَّتَيْنِ. مَرَّةً وَمَرَّتَيْنِ. So, this is eating meat in the week once or twice. فَإِذَا دَامَ. If someone's continuous in this, لَمْ يَكُنْ صَاحِبُهُ زَاهِدًا. That person cannot be considered to be zahid. Now, for us it's almost like, okay, we can count the amount of days in the month that we don't have meat. But the people of piety, they didn't eat much meat. They didn't eat meat at all. I mean, not at all. They didn't eat meat at all with regularity. They cut meat out. Now you might think, well, that's not true. The Prophet did eat meat and the Sahaba didn't eat meat. Yes, they ate meat. But they didn't eat meat with such regularity. And if they ate meat, they didn't eat red meat. They didn't eat beef. So you think, well, what's the big deal? The big deal is that the nafs just gets so used to these things. You ask someone to go to a wedding. Go to a wedding and you just take out salad or you just take out basics. People can't stand it. The nafs begins to get upset that why can't I be honored with meat? Because everyone loves meat so much. Meat is the sacrifice of an animal that's brought in front of you. That animal made the sacrifice. We're not making the sacrifice. We're just eating, and I told you about my friend who stopped eating meat because he would eat from the meat and he'd feel the anxiety the animal is suffering in his system. Meat has a direct effect because you took a live being, you killed it, you put it into your body. Again, permissible, halal, the Anbiya ate meat, I'm not doubting it. But to have such excess of meat as we do today is contrary. ضِدُّ الزُّهُد. It's the opposite of zuhud. وقالت عائشة رضي الله عنها عائشة رضي الله عنها she mentions كان يأتي 40 ليلة وما يوقد في بيت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم مسباح ولا نار. That over the course, the duration of 40 nights would pass by in the house of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, and you would not find coming from the house of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم any light. Nor would you find any fire. And this narration is narrated in Sahih Ibn Hibban on the authority of Aisha radiallahu anha. وقيل ما شبع رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم منذ that رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم did not fill himself. منذ قدم التقديم قدم المدينة ثلاثة أيام من خبز البر. That he did not ever fill himself with قدم المدينة ثلاثة أيام من خبز البر. That since he entered into Madinat al-Munawwara, he did not fill himself 3 days with a type of flour bread. 3 days. That 3 days would not pass and he would have bread regularly. So when we're saying, oh, but the Prophet ate this, the Prophet ate that, I've seen people say this. They say, oh, well, the Sahaba, they just had meat a lot, and you know, we're actually extreme. We think they ate little. The Prophet didn't eat. And he didn't eat. We have to understand, eating was a low priority on his list. We live to eat, they ate to live. It was very different. And when a person doesn't concern himself, and why is it zuhud? Because when a person doesn't concern himself with too much eating, he's not feeding the self. Feeding the self, he's letting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be in charge. Just take, he's gonna take it over. Not worried about how can I give myself something? How can I give myself something? And so we have to be very careful about the amount that we eat. Eating three times a day, alhamdulillah, eating three times a day is not normal. Using the restroom more than once a day is not normal, according to the Salaf. One of the Salaf, when the child used the restroom a second time in the day, he was taken to the Hakim. He said, oh, my child used the restroom a second time in the day. It wasn't normal. It wasn't normal. You know, we look at the Prophet's lifestyle and having to walk a certain distance to use the restroom away from the city. If they ate like we ate, they would always be going back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. Look at the Ummahat al-Mu'mineen. They would only go out at night, once, at the end of the day, to go use the restroom. That's it. And then people say, oh, how are they able to hold it? There's nothing to hold. There's nothing inside. We are so far separated from their lifestyle that we can't even wrap our minds around how it happens. Because that's why we have these questions like, wait, I don't understand. Why did they have vinegar when they could just have curry? Or why did they just have, why did they have salt when they could just have meat? Or why did they have, why didn't the Prophet have bread more than three times consecutively? Because it wasn't available. And when it was available, he still chose zuhud. Well, and as for clothing, the lowest of it is going to be that which covers the awrah and pushes away heat and cold. So if you want to be a true zahid, you have to dress in only so much that covers the satr and pushes away heat and cold. And again, in our context, it's not applicable. But at least it gives us a glimpse into the lives of the salaf. وَعَلَاهُ And the highest is going to be a qamis وَسَرَاوِيل. You know what sarawil is, right? Shawar. The pants. This is at the brink of leaving zuhud, the way we're dressed today. وَمِنْدِيل And a mindil. And mindil is not just a handkerchief. It's like that. It's like this. Mindil, now we say handkerchief, but it's like the shawl that used to be carried, the khirqa. But this was the mindil, because you utilize it for various things. If you're going to pray on something that will be distracted, you put it over it so you're not distracted. If you're going to pray on something that might be dirty, you put it over it. If you need to clean your nose, you use it to clean your nose. It's multi-purpose. It's there for benefit. It's not there just as some sort of decoration. The Prophet didn't use things for decoration. He used things based on absolute need, necessity, and benefit. So the mindil is not going to be a handkerchief you take out of your pocket. It's going to be like the khirqa that the Prophet used to place on his shoulders. He would just walk with it, and he would do many things with it. If he was going to sit down, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, to eat, he would open it up, and you can just put food on top of it. And that way, you fulfill the sunnah of having something between the food and the ground. It's multi-purpose. It's multi-purpose. So he would use a handkerchief from a type of coarse cloth, and it was such that if he would wash his clothes, if a person would wash his clothes, the person was zahid, he can't lam yajid, he will not be able to find other than it, lam yajid ghayrahu, he will not find other than it. And فإن كان صاحب القميص لم يكن زاهدا. And if someone became صاحب القميصين, who owns two shirts, لم يكن زاهدا, it's not a زاهد. Now again, we can't do this today. I mean, you can't go to work with just two shirts. You have to have a bit of a wardrobe. But understand that this is how they lived. At least take that. I mean, if we're going to ask for the practical application, just understand how they lived. They were so simple. They were so simple. It wasn't, if they had a second shirt, it was considered outside of zuhud. It was considered outside of zuhud. And then, Abu Dharr radiallahu anhu mentions that Aisha radiallahu anha, she took out, أخرجت عائشة رضي الله عنها كساء, عائشة رضي الله عنها took out a waist cloth and a top cover, وإزار غليظا, made of coarse material. And she held them up and she said, قُبِدَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ فِي هَذَيْنِ. He was taken in this, meaning that this is what he passed away in. So he passed away in very simple clothing. He lived in simple clothing. He passed away in simple clothing. He was laid to rest in simple clothing. And that was, he was happy with it. Because Allahumma ahyini miskinan wa amitni miskinan. Oh Allah, let me live as someone who's poor. Let me die as someone who's poor. Wa hashirni yawman qiyamati ma'al masakin. And raise me on the day of judgment amongst those who are poor. Okma qala alayhi salatu wassalam. This is the way of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he was taken back by Allah ta'ala in his final journey back, he wore very, very simple clothing in that moment of his passing. In the moment of his passing. And he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, okay. And he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, on one occasion had a khamisa, which is like a clothing made of wool. Laha alam. It had some stitching on it. It had some embroidery. It had some design on it. Falamma sallama. So from the prayer, when he said the taslim, when he did salam, qal. He said, shagalani nazr ila hadhihi. Izhabu biha ila abi ja'man. This hadith is muttafaqun alayhi, Sahih Bukhari, Sahih Muslim. He said that he had this cloth that had some embroidery, and he said after prayer, he said salam, and immediately he said, this cloth has distracted me. Alhamdulillah. This cloth has distracted me. It has occupied my, it made my sight busy. It occupied my sight, so take this and give this to Abi Jahm. Go give it to someone else, I'm not going to be wearing anymore. The Prophet ﷺ did not like anything, because that's what zuhud is in its essence. It's cutting yourself off from that which is going to be a distraction from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Rasulullah ﷺ, that one cloth became a distraction between him and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so he removed it because the prayer was too valuable for him to be able to sacrifice and compromise just for the sake of the cloth. And وَكَانَ شِرَاكُ نَعْلِهِ, and the strap of his sandal, it became undone. So verily he replaced it with a new strap. And when he finished in the prayer, he said, return the strap. For verily I was looking at it in my prayer. Now, فَإِنِّي نَظَرْتُ إِلَيْهِ فِي الصَّلَاةِ, that verily my eye glanced upon it during the prayer. And this hadith is in Ibn Abdullah bin Mubarak rahmatullah alayhi in his kitab al-Zuhud بِإِسْنَادٍ صَحِيحٍ, by an authentic, a rigorously authenticated chain. So it's not just some random statement. Some people ask, well, how did Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam look at his sandal while he was in prayer? There's a few different explanations. One is that wherever he placed his sandals, that his eye went in that direction. The other one is that he wore it when he prayed. Because there is permissibility to wear sandals or shoes within the prayer, and there is evidence from hadith that when you get something new, like get new footwear, it's almost a sunnah to you pray in it. So he could have been wearing it, it could have been next to him, it could have been put somewhere to the side and his eyes caught it. It drew his attention. And that's the main point. The main point is that it drew his attention. Excuse me. And when it drew his attention, what did he say? A'idu shirak al-khaliq. Return back the old strap. Why? فَإِنِّي نَظَرْتُ إِلَيْهِ فِي الصَّلَاةِ. This new one caught my attention during prayer. وَكَانَ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامِ. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he had two new sandals. فَأَعْجَبَهُ. It attracted his sight. SubhanAllah, I mean, even his possessions show his simplicity. You know, when a person has very little, then that something attracts them. Like, so for example, what do I mean? If I have a house and I have a car and I have multiple cars and I have many clothing and I'm praying, then just my shirt's on the ground next to me. I'm not going to be looking at my shirt. Why? I'm wearing a shirt. I have it on the ground. I have it hanging on the in the closet, etc. But if I have nothing, then something comes in my possession, then my eyes will be looking at it. Why? Because it's something new to me. So the fact that Prophet's eye went somewhere, and even here we have to be respectful, in some way, it doesn't mean he sat and he stood in prayer and he's just looking at it, or kept looking at it. It caught his eye. And so he was so simple that something of that nature could catch his eye. فَعَجَبَهُ حُسْنُهُمَا حُسْنَهُمَا that the beauty of these two sandals, they amazed me. فَخَرَّ سَاجِدًا. So what happened? I lowered myself. I fell in sajda. I lowered myself in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I was embarrassed that something could take my sight in prayer. فَقَالَ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامِ. So Rasulullah s.a.w. mentioned, فَعَجَبَنِي حُسْنَهُمَا that the beauty of these two, they both enamored me. فَتَوَاضَعْتُ لِرَبِّي خَشْيَةَ that I then humbled myself in front of my Lord. I humbled myself in front of my Lord out of fear that what? He's not happy with what I did. He's not happy with what I did. And then he, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he immediately got rid of those sandals. إِلَىٰ أَوَلِ مَسَاكِينَ رَآهُ. From the first poor person that he could find on the street, he immediately gave those sandals away. And أخرجه ابن حقيق عن عائشة بإسناد ضعيف. So this one, Imam Ghazali رحمه الله did include a hadith that is ضعيف, but for fada'il purposes is absolutely permissible to use it. And based upon the previous hadith, which is sahih from Abdullah bin Mubarak رحمه الله, which carries the exact same meaning, it does no problem with using it. Okay. وقد عدى على قميص عمر رضي الله عنه 12 رقعة بعضها من أدمن. That verily on the coat or the shirt of Umar رضي الله عنه, you could find 12 patches. Some of them were made from leather. Meaning that you couldn't even put cloth over cloth. They didn't have the wealth to have cloth. وَاشْتَرَى عَلِيٌ رِضْوَانُ اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ فِي خِلَافَتِهِ ثَوْبًا بِثَلَاثَةِ دَرَاهِمَ. Ali radiallahu anhu, in the time of his own khilafah, he purchased a upper garment or a thawb. And he did it for 3 silver coins. And وَقَطَعَ كُمَّيْهِ مِنَ الرِّسْغَيْنِ. He cut the sleeves on by both of his wrists. Excuse me. And he said, "All praise be to Allah, the one who's granted me who granted me garments, granted me this riyasha, that this granted me this beautification." وَقَالَ بَعْضُهُمْ, and some said, Sufyan al-Thawri rahmatullah alayh, his garments and his sandals were for very, very low prices. وَقَالَ عَلِيَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ, it just says بِدِرْهَمٍ, so it's a low price. رِضْوَانَ اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ عَزَّ وَجَلَ أَخْذَ عَلَىٰ أَئِمَّةِ الْهُدَىٰ أَنْ يَكُونُوا فِي مِثْلِ أَدْنَىٰ فِي مِثْلِ أَدْنَىٰ أَحْوَالِ النَّاسِ. Now verily Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He took for the leaders of guidance. leaders of guidance, that they be similar to the lowest states of mankind. That they be similar to the lowest states of mankind. Now, ahwal here is not a spiritual state, it refers to financial state. That they be similar to the lowest financial state of mankind. And what's the reason for this? Why did he ordain that the people who would give guidance to others would be in this state? It's very simple. The reason is so the rich person might look at the leaders being poor and take them as an example. And more importantly, or I guess equally important, the poor individuals would not be... they would not feel left out. They would not feel that they don't have a place. They would not be made to feel that they're insignificant. And so even the leaders of guidance, what were they doing? They were dressed in such humble manners and in their asceticism, so that what happens? That the poor feel equal and the rich can take them as an example. I think I'm just going to stop here. I'm having an asthma attack and I don't think I can continue because I can't take my inhaler right now. So I'm just going to stop. You guys should just get some rest, or you can sit and do zikr, or a combination of both. You can do muraqabah, so you can get your sleep and you can get what? Your zikr, and at the same time. Sorry, it's having a hard time breathing.